This podcast is part of the Sports History Network, your headquarters for the yesteryear of your favorite sport. You can learn more at sportshistorynetwork.com.
And make sure to check out sportshistorynetwork.com/giveaways. I have two signed books I'm giving away. One is titled No Nonsense, Old School Weight Training, and the other is Reliving 1970s Old School Football. Hello, sports fans, and welcome to another edition of Yesterday Sports on the Sports History Network. Today, me and Dave will be discussing part two of the Thriller in Manila, the legendary fight between Muhammad Ali and Joe Frazier.
He knew he couldn't see anymore.
Yeah.
He couldn't see. That 14th round, he was practically fighting blind.
Yeah. I call it the golden age of boxing, kind of.
Yeah.
The 80s, it was still kind of hanging in there. They had a couple of new guys come up. You know, they had Larry Holmes was there, and there was other guys and stuff. But 70s, and there was a lot of great boxers in the 60s and 70s. There really was. Although, I didn't really, my father used to talk about Joe Louis a lot. My father loved Joe Louis, you know.
Yeah.
And Rocky Marciano, but more Louis than Marciano. But, you know, the 60s, there was a lot of great guys. And I think the 70s, even more so. You had some really heavy hitters in the 70s. You had guys like Ernie Shavers and Ron Lyle. Those guys weren't really well known. They kind of were, but that you had to follow boxing to know them. But those guys could really pack a punch.
Yeah, you had Ken Norton. You had Jerry Quarry was in there in the 70s.
Yeah, and then, of course, you had Foreman come on.
Yeah,
and Foreman actually became a better boxer that second time around. If you watch the rope-a-dope fight with Muhammad Ali, he was terrible. Yep. He was throwing like hay. He was like telegraphing every punch. He was throwing punches from his waist almost at one point.
Yep. Yeah, he was just he was just throwing haymakers, like you said.
Nobody expected Ali to win that fight, that George Foreman fight. Nobody.
No, well, with good reason, because Foreman had just been destroying people.
Yes, he was a scary guy. He was a big guy, and he was mean.
Yeah. He was destroying people. He knocked Norton out, I think it was in the first round.
Yeah, that was very similar to the Frazier fight, where he had him out cold. I mean, those guys were out of it.
Yes. Yeah. He was just destroying people. Frazier was the heavyweight champion when he fought Foreman, and Foreman destroyed him.
I remember that being a big. I remember that fight and them showing the highlights of it on the news. I couldn't believe it that he got knocked down six times in that fight, Joe Frazier. He got knocked down six times, I think, in two rounds, and it's at one point he's actually almost looks like he jumps. He hits him so hard.
Yeah, he knocked him off his feet. They said he would have kept getting up if the ref didn't stop it. He would have kept knocking him down, and Frazier would have kept getting up.
Yeah, he didn't handle that loss, George Foreman, after he lost to Ali. Did he attempt to fight one more time before he went into that real bad funk? Didn't he have a fight with someone?
Yeah, he fought Ron Lyle. He had a tough time with Ron Lyle, but he won that fight. And then he fought Jimmy Young. And Jimmy Young, it went the distance, but Jimmy Young got the decision. He lost the fight to Jimmy Young.
That's hard. That's hard to believe, Mark.
Yeah.
Jimmy Young was not a big guy. Jimmy Young had a slight build.
Jimmy Young was a decent fighter, but he wasn't really up there with the top, the top guys.
No.
So, yeah, he went into a deep depression after that. I'm looking at my notes here. It was the 13th The 13th round is when Allie knocked Frazier's mouthpiece out.
Yes. Yes. Because Don Dumphy makes a mistake. And then he's, corrects himself. Frazier was trying to, I think Ali, if you watch that, those last two rounds, even though he knew he had Frazier off balance and everything, he was very cautious, Ali, I think, if you watch that. He took his shots, but they were very measured, and he took them when he knew that he could get away with, really peppering him.
Right. Well, he didn't want to get caught with that left hook. And that's in the 14th round, that was pretty much Frazier's only hope.
Yes.
Is if he could just, if he knew that he could barely see anymore, and he was just hoping he could catch him with one of those left hooks.
Yes. And in one of those rounds, either 13 or 14, he throws a left hook so wildly, he's in off balance. He throws himself into the ropes.
Yeah, that's right. Yep.
It was. I'll say it again. It wasn't probably as epic as the first fight, but it was more of a brutal fight, I think, and probably one of the greatest fights of all time in the heavyweight division.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
The thrill in Manila, the temperature in that arena had a lot to do with that. That was absolutely brutal. I'm sorry.
Yeah, it was brutal.
You know?
It's a shame it couldn't have went the distance,
No, it really was. Frazier only fought twice after that, I think, Mark.
I'm wondering, before we get to that, I'm just wondering, if his eye didn't close and it had gone the full 15 rounds, that would have been a really tough, maybe it would have even been a draw. It would have been so hard to score.
Yeah. It could have been, although, they used to say it's hard to take the title if you don't have a pretty good thing. But, I mean, you're right. It would for years Ali thought he had won the first fight, but he admits on one of those television shows when he was out, years later, he says he did. I lost the first fight, he said. But for a while he couldn't admit to that.
Yep.
Yeah.
Well, you have to give the fact that Frazier's eye closed, you have to give Ali credit. I mean, it was Ali's punches that caused the eye to close.
He was Ali, especially early in the fight, those mid rounds, like early in the fight, he connected on a lot of punches, Ali. But those mid rounds, he would throw flurries fast. He had a lot of hand speed in that fight. He really did. But a lot of those punches in the middle rounds missed. They were not connecting. If you listen to the call, you can listen to the Don Dumphy call, or you can listen to the home box office call, which was done by Howard Cosell. Howard Cosell plays that up. And Howard Cosell's talking about all these punches and this. But a lot of those punches were not connecting in those middle rounds. I'm sorry, they were not.
No. Frazier would do that bobbing and weaving, and a lot of those punches missed.
It was a great fight. It was a brutal fight. And like I said, you got to give Ali credit. He was able to take a lot. Ali could take a real, really could take a punch. I don't think he gets enough credit for that.
Unbelievable. I'll tell you one fight where he almost got his head taken off. He fought Ernie Shavers. I forget what year. It was after this fight.
It's right.
Yeah. He fought Ernie Shavers. Shavers was hitting him with bombs. I mean, it looked like he was going to take his head off. And I thought for sure Ali's going down. He can't stand it. This guy's hitting him with bombs. And he never went down.
No.
Never went down.
They were saying, if you looked at, they were saying the Ernie Shavers fight, Mark, that was the first fight, I think they talked about, that you could actually see that there was maybe something wrong with Muhammad Ali.
Yep.
Physically.
Yeah.
He was doing a lot of clowning in that fight. Do you remember that fight?
Yep. That fight was on television.
Yes, it was.
Network television.
That's right. Look.
Yep.
He went on. I mean, it's hard to believe. Like you said, he was 2 years older than Frazier. But after that third Frazier fight, after the Thrill of Manila, he went on to fight 10 more times, Ali.
10 more times he fought, yep. He lost 3 of those 10, though.
Yeah, and 3 out of the last 4 they were. The last 4 of those fights, yes.
Yeah, that's right. He won 6 in a row after the third Frazier fight. Yeah, he won 6 in a row, right? Yeah, he beat Shavers. I thought for sure he was going to lose that fight to Shavers, but Shavers finally ran out of gas. I forget if it was the 13th or 14th round. He finally just ran out of gas.
Yes. Yes, so, exactly. He just, I'm not sure, did he fight? When was his fight with Chuck Wepner? Do you remember that?
That was before the Frazier.
Oh, okay.
That was March 1975. March of 75 is when he fought Wepner. I think he might have fought Ron Lyle after the... I'm trying to think of who he fought after the third Frazier fight. I know he fought Shavers. I think he fought Ron Lyle.
Yeah, I think you're right about that.
Probably not a lot of big names. Those were maybe his two toughest opponents.
Yeah,
probably his two toughest opponents.
Yes.
And then he fought Leon Spinks and lost that fight.
That was a disgrace because Leon Spinks was okay, but he wasn't that good.
No, but like you said, you could see. And his what was his name? Freddie Pacheco?
Yes.
Freddie Pacheco was the ring doctor.
Yes.
He kept telling Ali, you got to retire. It's time. It's time to retire.
You're
taking too much punishment.
Yes. He fought this guy named Jean-Pierre Koopman. Remember him?
I remember that. That was a disgrace because that guy didn't even belong in the ring with Ali.
No.
I think he was in Belgium, right?
I think so. And he also fought some other bizarre guy that I don't remember him that well, or a guy named Richard Dunn.
Yeah. He was fighting a lot of no-name guys. And
He actually fought Leon Spinks twice back-to-back, Mark.
Yeah, they had the rematch, and he won the title back.
Yes. And Leon Spinks was barely a heavyweight, I think. He barely clocked in at 200 pounds.
Yeah, he wasn't that big.
You know, I don't think Ali took him seriously that first fight.
No. No.
You know? And I think he just Spinks outboxed him.
Yeah.
That's what it really was, you know? And then at the very end, I think he fought Trevor Burbick, and didn't he fight Larry Holmes?
He fought Holmes, yeah, and Holmes beat him badly. Holmes beat him bad.
Yeah.
And you could see Ali, you know, it was time. He was done. He had nothing left.
No.
And then he even fought after the Holmes debacle, he went and fought Trevor Burbick.
He might have needed money, Mark, believe it or not. There was a lot of talk about that, you know.
A lot of people took advantage of him.
Yes.
Right?
I don't know how the hell that guy could need money, but anything could happen, I guess.
Well, from what I've heard, a lot of people took advantage of him. That he would, you know, He lost a lot of his money because of people taking advantage of him. He always had that large entourage. Remember, he always had a lot of people surrounding him.
No, he did. He had Bundini, Brown, and there was a couple. I think his brother might even have been involved in there somewhere. And there was
they were like leeches, you know.
There was a couple of other guys, but you know,
they weren't good guys. They weren't good guys. They were leeches.
Yeah, it's amazing that he, you know, after I saw that, I looked that up. It's amazing that he fought that many fights.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. He fought 10 more fights. And Frazier only fought, yeah, you were mentioning him before. Frazier only fought 2 more times after that.
That's it. One of them was some crazy fight. Like he fought Foreman again when he shaved his head. Remember Joe Frazier was completely bald?
Yep, I remember.
He had a shiny head.
Yeah, after the, I don't know how much, he probably took quite a bit of time off after the Manila fight.
He did.
I don't think he fought for quite a while.
He did, and then
he fought.
That's right. And he went 5 rounds with Foreman. He lasted a little longer. He actually had a pretty good fight there for a while until Foreman really tagged him, but there were a few of those rounds he was doing pretty good.
Yeah. He just he didn't match up with Foreman at all.
No, he changed his style for that second Foreman fight. He was doing some different things, but Foreman was so powerful that he just, the way he could, you know, Frazier was a lot shorter than him. He could really throw those punches down, and boy, oh boy, they had a lot. Foreman was a very powerful guy. He was one of the most powerful, I think, that ever fought, really.
I would agree, yeah. He beat that, I think it was 45 years old when he won the title from Michael Moore, right?
I think so, yes.
Michael Moore was dominating that fight.
Yes, he was.
And then Foreman caught him. And he went down like a load of bricks.
Yes, he fought some fights before that, correct?
Yes. He fought Holyfield. He went the distance with Holyfield.
Yes, before the Michael Moore fight?
Yes. Yep. He went the distance with Holyfield.
Yes, exactly. He lost that fight to Holyfield, and he also lost to Tommy Morrison.
That's right. Yep. And when he made that comeback, they were all laughing at him because he was in his 40s. He had ballooned, his weight had ballooned up to 300. I think it was over 300 pounds.
Right.
But they weren't laughing anymore. He caught, after the Holyfield fight, they knew he was legitimate because he went the distance with Holyfield.
Yes. What ended up happening was he after he fought Jimmy Young, he didn't fight for 10 years. I remember that because I remember it being like a decade.
Right.
And then when he came back, he had a streak of fights against guys, I don't know who the hell they were, but he ended up fighting, he was 38 years old. And then by the time he got up to, what's his name there when he lost to Holyfield, he was 42. So he'd been fighting for 4 years.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know?
Then he fought, he lost to Tommy Morrison.
That went distance.
Yep. Yep. And then he fought Michael Moore and knocked him out. He knocked out Michael Moore.
Yep. The guy had 81 fights, Mark.
Yep.
It's unbelievable.
A lot of fights.
Yeah. Joe Frazier, I think, had in the high 30s, correct?
That's right.
You know?
Yeah.
Ali got up there. Did Ali reach 50 fights? I think he did.
He had over 50, I think. He had over 50 fights.
Yeah. Yeah.
He had to have over 50.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Frazier tried to make a comeback, too. After that second fight with Foreman, he retired.
Yes.
And then 5 years later, he attempted a comeback. He fought some guy, Floyd Cummings.
Yes.
I don't think he was even ranked. You know, he wasn't even a top 10 ranked heavyweight.
No.
And he fought to a draw with Floyd Cummings. And then after that, he knew it was over. He said, all right, that's it.
Weren't people considering it like some type of a, like not even a real fight or something? Like, wasn't it, it was like kind of bizarre. Like, they were saying it was like not charity, but it was like some kind of, it was a weird thing, yes.
Almost like an exhibition.
Yes, exactly. That's the word I was looking for.
Yeah, almost like an exhibition. But,
He only had 22 bouts, Cummings. It's all he fought.
Yep. That was it. Frazier kind of retired. I guess he was only, after that Foreman fight, he was probably only about 32 years old. But like I say, he had a lot of health issues.
Yeah, he did. You know,
so
even his doctor, who went down to that fight and for the thrill of Manila, he went down there with him. He accompanied Frazier. That fight. He also had back problems, Mark.
Yeah.
Yep. You know, he was a hard. He grew up and he worked hard on the farm. He was a hard. You know, he did a lot of work at a young age.
That's right. He had a lot of, I think he came from he had like 10 siblings, right?
Yeah. And they did like sharecropping. The father was not well or he got hurt. I think he lost his arm or something. And Joe Frazier ended up doing a lot of the work there. You know, That was the funny part. You know, they talked about that when I looked up that Muhammad Ali Frazier fight, the first fight. You know, people said that, you know, they said that Joe Frazier was a Uncle Tom, you know, he was the white man's champion. Yet he was really raised a lot more in a black environment than Ali ever was. That's the funny part. It's the ironic part.
Yeah, much more so.
You know what I mean?
So I don't know where I don't know where people, you know, people didn't read their history because, like you said, they were sharecroppers and, he came from South Carolina.
Yes.
Yep. And, you know, he wasn't, they weren't treated well.
No.
They weren't treated well at that time.
No. You know. I remember
like you said, Ali grew up, I think, in Lewiston, Maine.
Yeah.
I think that's where he grew up. He grew up in like a, you know, in a suburban area. He didn't grow up as hard as Frazier did.
No. He was born in Louisville. I know that because that's where I went to his museum.
Louisville.
I drove back home with my brother Mark. We went out to the Midwest for something, and we drove and we stopped in Louisville, and you should see the museum. How it's beautiful. It's like four floors. It's right on the river, and it's really, really nice. And you know, he just when he didn't want to go into the army, there was a lot of stuff going on. Like there's stuff that's going on today in society where everything's like very political,
right?
And that all played into it, you know.
Yeah.
And he had a lot of controversy surrounding him, you know. And then later on, you know, they dropped the, he was able to fight again. And he only had those two fights before the Frazier fight, but he said he maybe should have fought a little more before he fought Frazier for the first time. But they were 4 years apart in the Olympics. Ali was in the 60 Olympics. Frazier was in 64.
That's right.
And Frazier wasn't even supposed to be in 64. It was supposed to be, what's his name? He ended up beating him. Was it Buster Mathis?
Yeah, Buster Mathis.
And he ends up getting hurt. And Joe Frazier takes his spot in the Olympics.
That's right. And won the gold medal.
Yeah, in the Olympics, we did terrible in those Olympics for fighting. Frazier was the only one that came up with anything big.
And then 68 was Foreman.
Yes, exactly. Foreman.
Yeah.
Foreman went through a lot of changes, you know. Remember, he waved the flag around in the Olympics, and then he became this kind of like a mean guy, and then he was fighting in the end. He was a complete opposite. He was like a nice guy.
Yep.
You know?
Yeah, he went through a lot of personality changes.
It was almost like a wrestling act, you know, where sometimes the good guy turns into the bad guy and vice versa, you know?
Yep.
But those were great fights, those Ali Frazier fights. That was probably the greatest trilogy of any. You could almost even say maybe better than there was a couple of middleweights that fought big names. They had three fights. Who was it? I forgot.
Sugar Ray Robinson and Jake LaMotta.
I think they
fought each other five or six times.
Yes. And then later on, Hagler and Hearn? Was it Hagler and Hearns or no? Was it Sugar?
They fought once. Yeah.
Yeah. No, that was maybe it was Sugar.
Leonard and Duran.
Yes.
Leonard and Duran fought each other three or four times.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. Wow. The No Mas fight the last one?
I think they fought again one more time.
Oh, after that?
Yeah, but they were both up in age, so.
Yeah.
I think they fought three times. The third one, nobody really even remembers much because they were both up in age. They were probably like almost, they were getting close to 40 years old.
Yeah, that No Mas fight, you know, he just packs it in. What's his name? Yeah. In other words, he was getting mad. In other words, in his mind, he was saying, like, this isn't really a fight. He's not fighting me. And he just throws his arms up. And it was unbelievable. I remember that vividly when it happened.
Yeah, it was shocking.
It was more out of frustration than anything else.
Yeah, he was frustrated. He didn't know what to do.
You know what I mean? It wasn't like he was really getting beaten badly. He really wasn't, but it just wasn't going his way. Like, he didn't like the way it was going. Like, he didn't. You know, he just didn't think, he thought that he's got to mix it up every time. And he just didn't work out for him.
No. Well, that's
it, Mark.
That was.
I think we covered it all and then some.
I think so.
Yeah, great fight. Great era of boxing. And nothing, nothing really like it since. I mean, we had a little thing with Tyson there. He was great. He was pretty vicious. He was, you know what I mean? Now he's fighting again, by the way. But after he lost that fight to what's his name, he was never the same. He was considered invincible. And after he lost over in Japan to Buster Douglas, that was it.
Yeah, he was never the same.
No.
No. Never the same after that.
What's his name got the best of him twice.
That's right. Holyfield.
Yes, he did. Yep.
Well, his biggest mistake, Tyson should have just stuck with the trainer. What was his name? Rooney?
Oh.
Kevin Rooney, was that his
name? Yeah, I think it was.
That was his trainer, right?
Yes.
He had Customato was his manager.
Yes.
But then he died. Customato died, and Kevin Rooney was the guy And then he left Kevin Rooney, and that was his worst mistake.
Yeah, he got caught up in a lot of crazy stuff.
Yeah. And that's what a lot of people say, if Customato hadn't died, you know, he never would have got caught up in all that crazy stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
Because that's what Customato was keeping him away from. Well, he was keeping him out of trouble, because when he was a kid, you know, he was in a lot of trouble as a kid, grew up in a bad environment and got into a lot of trouble. And then Customato had him, you know, straightened him out and was keeping him away from all that stuff.
Yes, exactly.
So, really, after Customato died, it just went downhill from there.
No.
Then he left Kevin as trainer and got caught up with Don King.
Yeah.
And it just went downhill from there.
Yeah. Who was the trainer or the manager? He had the heavy Boston accent. What was his name? He's around. He talks about Mike Tyson a lot.
Yeah, I know who you're talking about.
They had some kind of a falling out.
Right.
Right?
I know. Yep. Yep.
I can't think of his name.
Yeah. I can't think of that actor's name either that you were saying. The actor who was at the... Was he at the third fight or the first fight?
There was a couple. The guy at the first fight was... He's interviewing one of the boxers. Right. I forgot his name. I always get it mixed up with Charlton Heston, but it's not Charlton Heston.
Yeah, I know. I can't remember his name.
But the second guy was also. But if you watch, there's a couple of different versions of that third fight on YouTube. One of them is the home box office version. And the other is the version with Dom Dumphy with Flip Wilson and Ken Norton and this other gentleman. Don Dumphy was great. He gets into the ring at the very end and he's trying to get a word with Muhammad Ali. Ali's laying on the floor. He's laying on the canvas. And he's trying to ask him and he's saying, it's actually almost comical. He's like, thanking all these people. And then he's saying, Joe Frazier, he's the greatest of all time. Outside of me, he says, of course. He goes, the greatest of all time. You know, and he can barely speak. He's that much out of breath.
Oh, yeah.
I think he sits up for a minute. He talks to him while he's sitting up, but he's actually on the floor when he approaches him. But yeah. that was a crazy scene in that ring. And Joe Frazier comes over for a second, and then he leaves. But that was something else. People today don't even get it. They don't even understand how great it really was. You know what I mean?
Yep.
But that's it, Mark.
Yeah.
Good talking to you, buddy.
This podcast is part of the Sports History Network, your headquarters for the yesteryear of your favorite sport. You can learn more at sportshistorynetwork.com. Hey there, sports history fan. This is Arnie Chapman, a.k.a. the Football History Dude, and I hope that you enjoyed this recent episode presented by the Sports History Network and were able to learn some good old-fashioned sports history knowledge nuggets. I started the Sports History Network back in 2020 with the mission to help podcasters find a community of like-minded sports history nerds, as well as helping aspiring podcasters to start their own shows. We have a little bit over 30 shows on the network right now covering all sorts of sports history, but as far as I'm concerned, we're just at the toothpick in the ocean moment, you know, that can't even figure it out because there's so much more coming. We wanted to create the ultimate headquarters for sports yesteryear, starting with Podcast Network and our website, but we're going to continue to move into other mediums as well. And here's the cool part, because we want you to be part of our team. So if you're interested in starting your own podcast, or maybe being a guest on one of our shows, or who knows, maybe even writing an article for us over on the website. Seriously, all you got to do is reach out to us on the contact page over at sportshistorynetwork.com. You could be as technologically savvy as a Neanderthal tapping on a stone trying to figure out this whole hieroglyphics thing back in the day. Again, it doesn't matter, because even if you don't understand the whole podcast space, we have a production team that can pretty much help you out with doing everything. All you gotta do, head over to sportshistorynetwork.com, head to the contact page, fill it out. That message goes right to me, and I'll reach out to you as soon as I can. But for now, dude, I'm through if you're through.